Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show. What's up guys, Coach Steve here. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here with our co-host, Coach Nick. Nick, how are we doing today?
I'm excellent, Coach Steve. I'm so good. The sun is shining and it is going to be a good day and a good week.
You're right, Nick. It's been an exciting weekend, especially where we are both based in Melbourne. And, you know, over the weekend, we have finally been allowed to go back to the gym, which has been exciting. And, you know, more and more restrictions have been lifted. So many of us have run out to places like Kmart and such and enjoyed, part of the opening of Melbourne again. So it's been an exciting weekend, of course, an exciting weekend and being our prep weekend. And this week being the first week of our November challenge, Nick. So lots of exciting things are happening. And you're right, the sun is shining. So I think we're all just feeling really goddamn good, hey?
I know. We're heading into that festive season. So it's good vibes only around here.
It's great vibes, don't you think? Now, over the weekend, you know, the gyms did reopen. Nick, did you get a chance to go into the gym over the weekend?
I'm going to head there today. So I've got my outfit ready. I'm all ready to go. It's just because I've got what I need in the shed. You know, it's good. It's actually just about venturing out there again. But yeah, I won't know what to do first. It'll be a lot of leg thingies, lots of machines. Probably I'll live on the leg press just because it's something I haven't used. I'm going to be so sore this week. I can't wait.
We're kind of like kids in a candy store, hey?
Oh, I know. Yeah. So how about yourself?
I was lucky enough to go over on the weekend, go and do a session in the gym. And you're right. I've been just training with my bench and my barbells and my plates for the past, you know, year or so. And it was nice to do a session in the gym again. And just I must say, I really love a good old pec deck. You know the pec deck? You just sit there, you grab the handles and you just do like a chest fly. Oh, geez, like holy pec doms. Like that was insane. So I had a really great time over the weekend. And I think I spent a little bit too long in the gym where I kind of a little bit of overtraining and now my body's a little bit sore. So I think I just got excited and caught up in the moment in the gym.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to be like that for a few weeks until we settle down again. And we're going to just realize, you know, sometimes it's just good to be in that environment. And sometimes you can just get that vibe and push a little harder than you might in the shed, not realizing that you've got things left in the tank. So I think it's going to be a good week. You watch us at the start of this challenge. We're going to be all gained up.
All aboard the gain train, hey?
Yeah, we're going on the gain train. So that's fun. So yeah, we're right with you all, just enjoying the gym at the moment, you guys. So we're all in the same boat at the moment, just loving it, getting back into it.
Absolutely. And look, talking about a little bit of advice for those of us in Melbourne and parts of Sydney where we're going back to the gym, maybe for the first time in some time, or anybody who's starting the challenge now who is going back to the gym for the first time in a long time. You know, my advice is that we do want to kind of take it slower, right? Often we get exposed to an area like a gym and we want to go from 0 to 100 or 0 to 110. You know, we want to kind of go over the speed limit because we can, right?
Yeah.
And sure, more often than not, we're probably better to kind of scale it back slightly before we kind of go full on crazy. And there's probably the biggest reason why we see people fail the challenge is that we kind of go too hard on the challenge, where we want to do all the things. We want to do all the exercise. We want to cut back all the calories. We want to go do extra walking and do, I don't know, sauna sessions and do a yoga class and do a spin class, as well as get all your steps in and then do a training session. We kind of do all the things, which ultimately end up leading to failure because we just kind of get tired, both physically but then mentally tired. And then once one curveball comes in through life where, you know, we've got to stay back late for work, or our kid gets sick, or I don't know, we don't have time to go to the shops and meal prep, that's kind of throws everything out of balance. And you know, when we're going 110 kilometers and something throws us out of balance, of course we're going to go and crash, right? So we're probably better off kind of starting it a little bit slower than normal as you kind of get into the rhythm and the groove of things, and then we slowly build onto it, right? And you know, as that saying, Rome isn't built in a day. You know, we're laying the foundations, and that could be the first week laying the foundations, and as we move on to week two, week three, you know, we add a little bit more, we might take away a little bit and change something and modify and mold it into what we want it to be. So my advice to anybody who's going back to the gym A gym setting, like a community gym setting, just take it slow. Don't go super crazy like Nick and I probably will. You know, look after our body, give ourselves a little bit of TLC. And, you know, it really is a marathon. It really is a lifelong journey. It's not really a sprint in that first week. Okay.
That's right. And it's just, it's about longevity. And you also, you want to, if you haven't done much, you want to introduce things slowly because you want to see how your body responds to each thing. Because it could be that thing. And then if you introduce too much too soon, you'll never know what was the thing that really kicked everything off. Like it might not be the spin class. It might be something else that you're doing. And you're like, oh, it's that spin class. And then, you know, it's just, it's about easing in, as you said.
That's right, Nick. That's right. Now, over the weekend, we've had our prep weekend, and for many of us, we've gone and downloaded our training plans, our nutrition plans, and started to modify the plans to suit our environments and our own preferences, and we've gone through and started inputting our details and uploading your start photo and everything, so it's been really great. Now, we'll be getting lots of questions on the forum, so if you haven't already, go check out the forum and join the conversation. So we've had lots of different conversations around different aspects of fitness and health. So if you want just some like non-structured learning where you might see someone ask a question about training splits or about injuries or about supplements, where these areas may be something you haven't really divulged in, make sure you join the conversation on the forum and you might find that you start learning different areas of fitness and you might pick up a few tips along the way so that you can get better at your own transformation. So join the forum, and the forum, remember, is on the Challenge website. So we have other areas where challengers will join themselves online, such as our Facebook online community, really great community for support and motivation. But the forum is kind of where Coach Nick and I live and hang out and answer any questions that you have or give you any advice that you need on anything related to fitness, health, the challenge, and everything in between.
Yeah, definitely. That's where, that's the place to be. We answer you pretty quickly as well. We're right there.
Yep. Now, you know, when we're talking about the challenge and we're talking about body composition, we're talking about, you know, improving the ratio of muscle to body fat. We're trying to get rid of as much body fat as we can and build as much muscle as we can. You know, that is the challenge. You know, that really in itself is, you know, a little bit of an institution where we are, we do need to learn a number of principles so that we can understand what's going on. Okay. Now, many of these principles, you know, Nick and I have learned over our, you know, 20 years plus of combined experience in fitness space, in the body composition space. And for some individuals, we want to jump onto the challenge and, you know, kind of want to understand everything right away. And that might be a little bit of a limitation. So you may need to spend a little bit of time to just kind of like digest the information on the plan, you know, digest some of the information that you find on the challenge website and actually spend a little bit of time maybe, you know, researching and learning some of the things. It's like starting a new sport. Like, you know, let's say you've been playing rugby for forever, right? And then now you want to go play netball. All right, well, you know, there are some similarities, you know, you're both using a ball, but it's, you know, a very different sport. And you do need to spend some time to understand the rules, understanding strategy, understanding some of the principles around that game. We're talking about rugby versus netball, so you can get a good understanding. Now, often someone would join the challenge with lots of preconceived ideas about fitness and health because they've been playing rugby forever. And sometimes you do need to be a good beginner again, kind of unlearn rugby and then relearn netball. So take that with a grain of salt when you're approaching the challenge and think about, you know, the empowering effects of learning. Because once you understand the principles, geez, it's empowering. You know, you have complete control over your body composition and you go, well, yeah, like I know that it's not some weird and wacky diet that I'm seeing on Instagram being promoted to me. I know it's just, you know, portion control and being disciplined and just looking after yourself. And then you can, you know, get the six pack that you've been wanting for a really long time. So take the time and learn not only the programs and how they work, but then the overarching principles about what we're trying to achieve in the challenge.
Definitely. And if you do take the time to sometimes listen to us or other people that have been through it, you may skip the step where you do the stuff that doesn't serve you well, that we've actually been through. And you might go straight away to the bit that can help you. And that's what we'd love to see, because we've kind of lived our lives, or I've definitely experimented a lot. And I'd like to now share what actually works, because I've put my body through a lot of stuff that it probably didn't need to go through. So I want to share that and help people. So, yeah, just hook in, guys and girls. Hook in.
Hook in. Yeah. I like it. Now, of course, if you were playing rugby for a really long time and now you're playing netball and we've thrown you onto a netball court. Is it a court? Yeah, it's a court.
Yeah. Yeah,
a court. Of course, if you're standing there as a rugby player standing on a netball court, it could be very overwhelming. And I completely understand when anybody joins the challenge and they're completely overwhelmed because we've just thrown you on the netball court and you're standing there with the ball in your hand going, well, what do I do? And then you go to start running and then, you know, there's a foul because you can't run a netball. So we've made mistakes straight away. So if this is you and you're feeling really overwhelmed, first is just to I would suggest that you reflect for a moment and think, okay, have I just jumped on the netball court or have I taken time to understand the game of netball and, you know, started to make those steps? Is that the reason why I'm feeling overwhelmed? Is because I just kind of jumped a few steps forward, okay? The next is that when you're starting to play the game of netball, I don't play netball. I'm horrible at netball. That's probably the sport that I'm horrible at, is trying to get the ball into a net. So basketball, netball, yeah, you will beat me in a game like that. Anyway, so talking about the challenge, if you're feeling overwhelmed, you know, maybe you want to take that step back and just make it really simple, right? Where, you know, maybe you're trying to get really good at netball and you're trying to understand netball strategy and theory. Okay, well, maybe you just go back to basics. Okay, how do you hold the ball? How do you pass the ball? And then how do you shoot the ball? Okay, take it to those simple steps and then you build yourself up. Now, relating to the challenge, what does that look like? Well, keep it simple. Maybe you don't need to modify the plan at all. Just download the PDF and just follow the plan for the first couple of weeks and just do exactly what it says on paper. And then after maybe week three, week four, that's when you can start to modify it and make it work for you. It's kind of like a recipe, right? If you've been exposed to a brand new recipe, you don't know how to make it, like let's say a loaf of bread. Once you've made that loaf of bread like 5, 6, 7 times, okay, then you might be like, all right, well, what if I add a little bit more flour? What if I add a little bit more yeast? What if I bake it at a lower temperature but for a longer time? How does that alter my bread at the end? So it's the same principles within the challenge. Keep it simple before we start to really complicate the process of the challenge.
Definitely, definitely. Because eventually you want to get to the point where you're questioning and going, I think that I can change this food on my template to something else. And you get proud of yourself. You think, wait a minute, I've done that myself. And then that is the next step to you being able to go to a supermarket without even having a template and going, this is a good food for me. It serves me well. And this one is something that I might leave because it may not be worth it. So, yeah, that's what we want you to get to the point that you're doing. You know, that's really important, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, you could really think of that challenger or that fitness individual as someone who is either active or passive. So you're describing someone who's really active, right? There's someone who is playing an active role in their process. They're trying to make the plan fit for them. They're trying to, you know, modify it and work it out and understand the principles. They're really actively involved in the program. Those active challengers and those active fitness individuals, we find that they get the best results. And that's because they're just motivated. They want to be part of it. They want to be involved with it. Whereas someone who's really passive in the process, where they just want to, you know, be given a script and then follow it, that individual is less likely to succeed. And, you know, we see it already in the first week of the challenge, where there's some individuals that put their hand up and say, hey, I just want to be told what to do. And it's like, okay, that's fine. You know, you can get really great results by just being told what to do. But for the best results possible, we need to turn you from a really passive challenger where you just kind of want to wave your hand and say, hey, do it for me, into someone who's really actively involved, someone who wants to kind of start questioning things, someone who wants to really understand how it all works and really make the program work for them. So take a moment to reflect on your journey so far in this first week. Are you someone who wants to be really passively involved in this challenge? Because I'm being really honest here. No one's going to do it for you. You know, you have to do it. Like, I can't go to your house and meal prep for you and, you know, go to the gym and hold your arms while you're doing a bench press. I can't do that for you. You have to do it for you. And you need to find ways to turn from this passive fitness enthusiast into someone who's really actively involved. What are you going to do to make the challenge work for you?
That's right. And the thing is, even if you say, no, I want to be told what to do forever, you're an individual person and you won't want that. So eventually you're going to break free. And if you don't learn the tools to break free in a positive way, you'll break free by going, wait a minute, Caramilk's on special. I'm going to buy 10 blocks because I'm, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to do what I want to do. And you'll go back to sort of those old patterns. So it's about empowering yourself with new patterns because eventually you won't want to be told what to do. And that's where we run into that kind of limiting factor. And we want you to, when you don't want to be told what to do, to go, I want to make my own recipe up with my rice and my chicken. I'm going to put some paprika on it. You know, that's hardcore. But, you know, that's how we live. You know, I'm going to put a different spice on my chicken today. That sort of a thing. And that's where, you know, you can fly free.
Absolutely. And like we said earlier, like, life's eventually going to throw a curveball at you. Like, it's not going to be sunshine and rainbows forever. Like, things are going to get crappy.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, how do we respond to that? If you have an underlying set of principles that you follow, being like, okay, I don't have a lot of time today to meal prep. What am I going to do? Okay, I know that I could go to Coles. I could get some cooked shredded chicken, maybe from the deli, and I can get some, you know, pre-made salad that's there, and I can just mix it together, and I can like season it with some, you know, like a dressing, or maybe just some salt and pepper if you're salt and pepper salad fans. You know, you can make it really simple and be like, all right, great, I've got this nice meal in front of me that is you know, nourishing for my body, that didn't take a lot of time to meal prep, not a lot of time to cook, and then I can continue with these other challenges that is within my life. So often with the challenge, like the training and the nutrition side of things is often like kind of the easy side, and we're kind of more dealing with the life things that are happening with us so that we can continue to do the fitness thing. So it's all about principles, understand the principles, and it's empowering once you learn what they are.
Yeah, we want you to eventually not need us. That's what we want. We want you to want to stay with us, but we don't want you to need us.
That's right. That's right. Which isn't a fulfilling business model for us. But look, you're right. We do want you to kind of learn what we've learned, and then, you know, not need us and almost be on your own journey. And then I think that's really empowering.
Yeah, but don't worry, you can stay because you love us so much that you want to stay. Don't think that you're not going to stay. But yeah, we want you to become a leader in the community, put it that way, where you're helping others. Yeah.
Well, look, if I'm really honest, like, I'm still a student of fitness and health, right? And Nick, you're the same. Even though we've been in the industry for years, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know things. And
Definitely
had bouts of, you know, things like imposter syndrome in my own fitness and even as a PT and such, where I'm like, geez, I don't know anything, and people are paying me to guide them. And it's okay, because you might be exactly the same, where you're starting the challenge and, you know, you're starting your fitness journey and you go, geez, what the hell's a calorie, right? And then let's say 2 years down the track, you kind of go, okay, what really is a calorie if you can't really like grab it and hold it? Oh, it's kind of like temperature. It's how you know, measure energy. All right. And then 5 years down the track, you're like, okay, if calories are doing this to my body, what happens when I have more of it? What happens when I have less of it? And this is this constant questioning of things over time. And even like 10 years down the track, I go back to the basics being like, okay, well, what if we had really low calories for a shorter time than high calories for a higher time and cycle it? What does that do to the body? Research it, understand it. Okay, it's really the same thing as having just a maintained diet. All right. What about those individuals that do intermittent fasting? All right, they're having low calories, high calories. That's the same thing. They're cycling their calories. Is that the same as just having a maintained energy deficit? Yes, it is. Okay, well, you know, there's no big wow thing with intermittent fasting. It's the same as this. So we get these better understandings of how it all works. So remember that we are a student of life for life. And it does, this conversation slowly evolves over time. So if you have any questions for us, if you are 5 years down the track and you want to have an advanced question for us, We love to give you an answer. I love these advanced questions where we're talking about really deep theories. Or if you have a super beginner question, nothing wrong with that as well. If you're trying to understand what the hell is a protein, we're here for you. So please reach out to us if you have a question. And the best place for that is on the forum.
Yeah, we love the questions. Keep them coming. Excellent.
Yes. Now, Nick, let's move on to our non-scale victories for the week. Now, our non-scale victories are a section where we want to highlight individuals that are finding wins or victories in their day-to-day life that might not be related to the scales or how many kilos they lost or gained. So examples of that might be someone who just simply completed their program. They, you know, went to the gym that day. Maybe they followed the meal plan that day. Maybe they got their 10,000 steps in. So I think that's an awesome non-scale victory. Another one could be someone who's just prepared for the week. So maybe on a Sunday, they've done their meal prep for the week. Everything's in nice little Tupperware containers in the fridge, ready to go. Or maybe that you're spending time improving your stress levels or your sleep quality, and you're noticing those changes in your overall energy levels. So there's other ways that we can look for our non-scale victories. Now, Nick, being the first week of the challenge, of course, we don't really have a lot of non-scale victories coming in, but I do want to spend some time highlighting some of our community members. So these are people that are posted on places like our journals or on Instagram or on Facebook, where we're highlighting some individuals where we, you know, we've seen them, we know that they've posted, and we want to highlight them, saying, hey, you can do it over the next 6 weeks. So Nick, do you want to start us off here?
Yes, I'd like to shout out to Nicola Gibb. Now, she listens to this podcast every week. So Nicola, you will love this. You'll love a little bit of a feature. So we've got our Shred for the Red. That's what Nicola's doing this challenge. So she's got herself a red bikini. She goes, I've got myself a red bikini. That's my motivation. So we've seen the bikini. There's a picture of the bikini on our Facebook page. I'm going to throw everything at this challenge. Last two challenges, I've worked so hard to get where I am today, but I still want to drop body fat. Last challenge, I challenged my mindset with eating in a surplus, and it was awesome. This challenge, I'm eating at a deficit to see if I can lose a bit more fat. Going to train hard and eat wisely to give it the best crack before Christmas. Let's go. Hashtag shred for the red.
Hashtag shred for the red. How good.
And you can sort of see in her language, she's Nicola's starting to understand, you know, the difference between a calorie surplus and a calorie deficit. And she's sort of put her body in the first time through a calorie surplus, and now she's going into a deficit. So just that language suggests to me that Nicola's been, you know, listening to the podcast, doing her research. She's got a great mentor in Alicia. So yeah, a fantastic example of somebody who's now understanding about how to do what they want to do with their body and take their body on a journey. And it's always a journey. So well done, Nicola.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like that idea of a journey, because you're right. Like, we can't go in one direction for a really long time and forever, right? You can't be trying to lose weight for 30 years. You know, we'll get to that point where we've lost weight and then we go, well, now what? Do you want to go through like a muscle building phase? Do you want to improve your fitness? Do you want to get really flexible? Like, what's next? And I think for Nicola, she spent that time building her physique, and then now she's getting going on her shred for the red, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, so we can't wait to see those pictures coming through with the red bikini. So go, Nicola. All right, so now we've got Neil Ferguson. So Neil Ferguson from the journal. So Neil's entered in straight away. It's good to update your journal, because that is something that keeps you really accountable. So Neil has said, prep up at work in full swing. So I think prep week, last day before the games begin, let's go. So he's obviously prepped his meals, and he's going in full swing there, Neil. So I like that. I like the fact that he's stated what he's going to do when you state your intentions. So even just go write it on the journal, write it down, because it means it's going to happen. You know, that's what I really believe.
Yeah, I did like this post from Neil, because he posted a photo of his like work fridge. Well, it looked like his work fridge. Yeah. And I think that's what he was showing. And I like that. Maybe someone like Neil, I don't know anything about Neil. So Neil, if you're listening to this, how you doing, Neil Ferguson? but maybe Neil is an individual who spends a lot of time at work. Maybe he's like a FIFO worker or a shift worker. So he's making the challenge work for him, because he spends lots of his time at work. So he's making his meal prep and such at his workplace, so that when he's at work, he can have his meals, and so that he can stay on track in the challenge, even though his shifts might be changing all the time. I might get that wrong, Neil. I apologize if you're not that individual, but maybe you are listening to this and you're like, well, you know, I do 12-hour shifts, or I'm a FIFO worker where I'm 4 days on, 3 days off or something. And, you know, at work, all I have is a small fridge. Okay, well, what can we do about that? Can we maybe get our meal prep in the fridge? Do you have space in the freezer? Can you get a little cooler bag and take all your meals to work? Like, what can you do to make your work environment suitable to the challenge? So I love that, Neil. Congratulations.
Yeah, definitely. And the other little thing that I like is how he says, last day before the games begin, let's go. Because it doesn't always have to be so serious. We can have a bit of fun as well. Like, if you just peel back all the layers, you're moving your body, you're eating well, you're in a community, it's actually fun. So I like it. Let the games begin. You know, all of us can do with that reminder sometimes as well, because we get caught up in helping people and we worry that about the programs and is it good and do people like it? Are people going to do it? And it's like, it's actually a bit of fun. We're moving our bodies, we're eating well, and we're all getting fit together. So we're already ahead of millions of people on the couch that are not even doing anything. So I like it. Oh, okay. Next. We got Nicole Rodder. So she's from the journal as well. So I love this, because, yep, contributing to the journal, making your little journal already. Looking at these photos, it's the most positive I've been that I need to make a change. I look unhealthy and unhappy, and I can't wait to see what the challenge brings. So Nicole's basically owning it. She's putting it out there, and she knows from her own self, like we might look at her photo and not realize, but she, it's not even about looks. She probably feels that within. So verbalizing that is a really good start. And I expect to see great success from Nicole, because I'm going to keep my eye on her and stalk. So my eyes are on her right now. Go, Nicole.
Look at her. I like it. Go, Nicole. Yeah. You can do it. You can definitely do it.
Yeah. Have you got any?
Yeah, I've got a couple. I want to highlight Joe Gill. Joe Gill. Now, Joe has done the challenge in the past. I do remember him from about a year or two ago, and he's written down day one prep time. It's been a roller coaster 2 years, and thanks to gyms being closed for so long in Victoria, and Uber Eats has left me in bad shape. Time to make some changes for the best. So congratulations, Joe, for coming back to the challenge. You know, I apologize for what's happened in Victoria, where gyms are being closed and our good friend COVID coming in and throwing a big spanner in the works. And I apologize that your body is changed to the way it is now, but it's about you making those changes now to get back to where you were before. So Joe, you can do it. We're going to keep an eye on you, buddy.
Definitely. And there's millions of people in the same boat. Well, not, I don't know if it's probably literally millions, actually. So, yeah.
Well, Nick, when the saying of COVID kilos becomes normalized, I can imagine it becomes a very big common thing that's happened amongst people of gaining a few kilos through the COVID period, COVID kilos. Yeah.
Definitely.
The next one is Joanne Sadler. And Joanne posts a photo on the journals, and she writes, starting photo reality check. Plenty of room for improvement. We'll be taking weekly progress photos front, back, and sides to check my progress. And I like that. And it sounds like a similar one to Nicole, where, you know, she's taken her start photo, had a little bit of a reflection going, okay, I really need to do something about this. And she's committed to uploading a progress photo every week so that she can stay on track. So I'm excited to see Joanne's journey.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of progress photos. I take them myself all the time. I find it to be a really good way to be accountable, and it's a strategy that I use to just keep myself in line. So I see it as a strategy, to be honest. Yep. Yeah.
The last one here goes to at Changing Stace. Now, this is an Instagram post, and Stace has used our hashtag. So she's either used hashtag We Are Challenge or hashtag Maxine's Challenge 21, or for the guys, Max's Challenge 21. You can find these hashtags on the challenge website. So if you go into community and then you go into our social hub, you can find some of the hashtags, and you can see some other individuals that have utilized that hashtag. So we see those hashtags, and you can also tag the challenge in any post that you post online. So if you're posting on Instagram and you tag, let's say, Maxine's Challenge, we may reshare you on our story. So if you want to be posted by us, that's totally cool and fine as well. Now, Stace has posted that she's an inspiration to herself. So she wants to keep at it, and she's chipping away and making consistent changes. In January, she attempted to complete the challenge, but fell off the wagon, which is a fine reflection. But she just completed the August 6-week challenge, got in the top 50. So congratulations to her. And she's about to start the next 6 weeks. So I like this post because it's a little bit of a reflective post where she's tried the January challenge, wasn't successful for whatever reason, and then she's given it another crack, and she's completed the August challenge, got in the top 50, which is awesome, and then now she's going to take it to the next level doing the next six-week challenge that we just started here. So awesome to Stace, and reach out to us on places like Instagram as well, and you could tag us and we can reshare your content.
Yeah, definitely. We love seeing that. We really celebrate that. And it just lets us get to know you all as well. Well done.
That was so good. Now, Nick, let's move on to our Coach's Corner. Now, the Coach's Corner is a space where Nick and I can offer our tip for the week. But, you know, being the first week of the challenge, there might be some individuals who are listening to this and they're like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Like, you know, Coach Steve, Coach Nick, like, who are these guys and girls? Like, who are these people? I feel like, you know, we've both been in the challenge for quite some time, and many individuals know who we are, but I guess we should take time to kind of reintroduce ourselves. So Nick, do you want to give us a little bit of an elevator pitch about who you are and a little bit about your background?
Yeah, let's time it. Let's make sure that it's less than 2 minutes. But okay, so let me start with my age. So I am 42 years old. I come from Melbourne. I have two kids, two girls. One is 11, one is 13. I have been working in the fitness industry for about 12 years now. I was a group fitness spin instructor for a long time, owned a studio, ran that during COVID as well online. Know a lot about cycle training, started off doing like big Ironmans, triathlons, and then powerlifting. And now I'm really into bodybuilding. So I've competed in a couple of different shows. And so my goal now is to just be a bodybuilding beast and live my best life. Like I just also believe in sustainable fitness and lifting heavy weights and just going for it as a woman, and I never want to leave any stone unturned. So that's me.
I like that. That's an awesome super summary.
Yeah. How about yourself?
So for me, I'm Steve, Coach Steve. I've been with the challenge for close to 3 years now. I've been in the fitness industry for about 10 years. So I'm 28 now. I started when I was 18. And before that, I was involved in lots of sport as captain and coaching roles and such. So I've kind of been around fitness for a really long time. I too am in Melbourne. I live in Melbourne's southeast. I have a little boy, little baby George, who's 8 weeks old this week. So yes, I'm a new dad, which has been an interesting challenge for my life, but something that many parents who listen to this podcast completely understand, the things that I've gone through over the past 2 months. Now, for me, I currently work also as an osteopath. So I completed my master's degree and I work in a clinic. I run my own clinic out of a gym in Melbourne Southeast called XFC. And I have my little clinic, Muscle Up Osteopathy, where I help individuals overcome pain and injury and, get the most out of their training. So through my time at university, I published a few research papers and did a few internships across the globe. So I was working in India and such, in different hospitals and things. So I've been academically been in different areas. Now, in terms of my fitness career, I've done a range of studies such as, my strength and conditioning work. I've done a bunch of kettlebell work. I've done different coaching roles, lots of nutrition courses, lots of short courses, and lots of just reading about academic things. So I spent a lot of time in places like Google Scholar and reading textbooks. So I'm a little bit of like that dorky side of things, but I like the idea of, statistics, number, and data when it comes to training. For me, I've done some pretty cool things. I've done, bodybuilding shows. I've done a marathon. I've done amateur powerlifting events. I've done Olympic lifting. I used to be a swimmer. I've played sport. I've done some fun things in my time. But, I think Nick and I kind of share a similar goal right now where my big focus is just being strong. Where in the past, I did want to focus on getting the six pack and being shredded and all those things. But now I just want to be strong and robust in my body to kind of protect my body from aging. I think that's the biggest way that we can stop the aging process and stop the injury process and pain in our bodies just by getting strong. And I do that through lots of kind of like powerlifting based exercises and just being as strong as I can be. But that's me in a nutshell, a little bit of a dork, but I love talking about science and philosophy and those types of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. That's you. Yes. That's me. Sure.
That's me. Yeah. Now, yeah. Nick, let's move on to this Coach's Corner tip. Start us off. What advice are you going to give people this week?
All right. So it just leads on a little bit from what you were saying about being strong. So my little tiny bit of advice here, well, it's actually just a little bit of a statement of why I'm not afraid to eat more calories and how I got to that point. So, of course, like many people, I grew up before you were born in the 80s. My mum was an aerobics instructor. So I grew up with the whole Jane Fonda thing. My mum was actually, she represented a supplement brand, not Max and Maxine's, a different one from the States. I won't say what it is, but like sold that product. And I was around that a lot. And it was about more training and sort of, not eating much in a way. And that was sort of the 80s. That's the 80s for you. And I think a lot of people that even are in the challenge now sort of grew up with that mindset of to get results, you have to eat less. And it's only really recently that as women have started lifting weights more and we've had to fuel our bodies more for the activities. I mean, you look at all the CrossFit women that are amazing, the elite athletes. It's all about eating now, and it's about really how much you can eat and still stay reasonably lean and complete all your activities. It's definitely not the other way anymore about how little you can eat. So I think that just being surrounded by that sort of thing, and for me, what really made me have that shift is actually being freaking hungry when you're lifting heavy weights. So getting strong, and it actually makes your muscles hungry. And when you grow muscles, they are like pets. They actually have to be fed. You know that feeling of, it's different to a starving cardio feeling. If you're a starving cardio person, that's fine, but you can go forever without eating. It's just your metabolism down regulates it. Whatever happens to you, you just don't need to eat. Once you start lifting those weights, there's no choice in the matter. And it's just this beautiful relationship with your body where you start to feed it and then it starts to do awesome things for you. And you actually grow this muscle tissue that's expensive to maintain for your body. So you can use more and more calories. And now it's kind of a game of how many calories can I eat and still look the way I want to look? And you can play with that. So for me, I'm not afraid to eat more calories because I want to lift the best stuff in the gym and I want to be big with muscles. So I'm quite tall. I probably come across, no matter how much I lift, as pretty tall and lanky-ish. Like Keith in our office will always say to me, how are your quads going? It doesn't matter if I think I've grown them. They still look like twigs. So I can afford to eat a lot for my activity level and what I do. And I don't want to burn it off. I want it to go into my body and fuel my muscles. So that's why.
I like it. And you know, reflecting on, let's say, women's fitness and the evolution of women's fitness before my time, like you said, it was all about how much aerobics could you do and how little can you eat. And I like that now, especially over the past 5 or 10 years, really big push for women to get strong, and that's through resistance training. And that could be lifting weights, that could be using machines, resistance bands, whatever it is, but about putting resistance on your body and stimulating your body to grow muscle. And I think that's such an important process.
Yeah, and muscle does need food. Because I've tried, because I came into it as the endurance athlete, I was like, I'm going to grow muscles, but I'm still going to eat the way that I used to eat. And I reckon I probably wasted about 3 or 4 years still lifting the things, but not really reaching my potential because I wasn't fueling. So, yeah, don't make the same mistake as me. Just get stuck into it and stick to your calories. Doesn't mean you can eat like an a-hole. Because I think everybody goes through the stage where they realize that they can eat more and they go, okay, how many tubs of ice cream can I do? And they're like, I'm going to slam it all in. You don't need to do that, but it's a balance, you know. Don't be
afraid. I like it. Now, for me, I want to talk about what is the process? What is the process and why are people always talking about the process? And often people would say things like, trust the process, as if it's this, you know, big emotional thing of the process. For me, my advice is that, you know, we don't want to simply just trust the process. We want to commit to the process. Okay. So, you know, trusting the process just is a little bit of that passive modality of just taking your hands off, being like, oh, I trust it. I'm going to follow this and go with it. What we want to do is commit to it and understand that the process is this evolving and actively participating journey of making decisions about where we're going with our body. Okay, so the process is essentially going from point A to point B, is essentially achieving our goals. That is the process. So you might be someone who, let's say you're defining yourself as being overweight or obese and you wanna lose weight, you wanna get the six pack, you wanna build the big biceps, big quads, have the abs, all the things. That's the goal. We wanna try to move towards that goal. Now, there is a process to achieve that. The first one is to understand our starting point. That would be the first one. And, you know, some of our non-scale victory participants this week, you know, they've taken their start photo, they've understood their starting point. We go, okay, this is my baseline. They've done their little stock take of their little store and going, okay, this is my starting point. The next step on the process is to apply an intervention. Now, that intervention is something like the challenge, which we're doing right now. We are applying a training plan or a training stimulus, and we're applying a nutrition plan or a nutrition intervention. So we then, once we've applied that intervention into our baseline, we want to measure the effect of that intervention. Okay, really scientific here. So it's nothing really based in emotions. We're trying to create a really linear point A to point B. How are we going to do it? We've created our baseline, we've applied an intervention, then we need to measure, is it working? Now, how do we measure this? Well, there's a range of different things that we can measure. Some of those things really easy to measure. Some of those things really difficult and expensive to measure. Some of those things are really accurate with their measurements, and some of them are a little bit, you know, subjective and obscure to measure our progress. So for example, if you want to measure your progress through photos alone, you take your start photo, you apply your intervention of the challenge, and then you want to measure your progress by photos, it can be really difficult to measure photos, let's say every day, because you won't see any changes. Every week, you could probably squint your eyes and maybe notice any changes. You might notice changes come, you know, month one, month two into your journey. And in that time, you go, well, if I've noticed zero changes from 1 month, 2 months to 3 months to 4 months to 5 months, we go, well, my intervention wasn't working. So we need to find a way to measure our progress quite quickly so that we know our intervention is working or not, because we don't want to waste time. Like in this 6 week period, if we wait 6 weeks to see if it worked, all right, we've just completely lost the process. The process is to find out, all right, is this intervention working? Yes or no? Yes, it is. Then once we apply that intervention, is it working? We can reflect on our process, everything that we've done. We reflect on our approach to the intervention and see what's worked. And then we can go back to our baseline and start again. So that's essentially the process where we're imagining, establishing a baseline, applying intervention, tracking our progress, and then reflecting on the journey and then start again. And Nick, you and I have done that over and over again through our time in the fitness space. Let that be, you know, yourself training for triathlons, trying to lift weights, trying to burn body fat so you can get up on stage as a physique athlete. Whatever fitness goal it is, it's exactly the same process. Establish the baseline. What are you going to measure? Okay, how fast can I run 100 meters? How heavy can I lift on a deadlift? You know, what body fat percentage I am. Apply an intervention, measure your progress, and then reflect on the journey. And that's essentially what we're trying to do here with the challenge and the process. So commit to the process. Don't trust it completely and blindly. You know, we want to play an active role in it so that we can make those changes if required, so that we can get the result that we want to achieve.
So true. And know your goal as well, because there's no point in following the process towards a goal that you don't really want. Because I've seen a few people going, I know that I want to put on muscle, but I want to lose body fat. And it's like, well, you have to choose one of those two things. You've got to choose between the two. So, because the process is different for both of those. So you don't want to trust something that you actually don't really want. Because somebody said to me on the forum, I know I'm going to be disappointed in what I see at the end. It's like, don't start like that. Start with what you want. You know, no one else wants it for you. So just want what you want. And there's no shame in wanting anything. Whatever you want, go after it.
That's right. I like that. And, you know, part of that, it reminds me of another post where an individual was saying that they want to build muscle, but they don't want to get heavier.
Yeah.
And we do need to kind of understand that certain decisions will make other changes in our body, right? So if you want to gain muscle, you're increasing the total body mass that you have. We're having more muscle mass. Of course, we're therefore going to be heavier on the scales. So that means that it might be a good measure to measure how much body weight you're gaining, because that could be related to how much muscle mass you have. So if you start at 60 kilos and at the end of maybe week one, you're 61 kilos, at the end of week two, you're 62 kilos. Hey, you're gaining body mass. We hope that it's muscle. And we go, how do we determine it's muscle? All right, we're getting stronger in the gym. All right, body mass is going up. My strength in the gym is going up. I'm visibly looking, you know, bigger. Like my arms are looking bigger. My quads are looking bigger. Great. I'm ticking all the boxes. The intervention that I've applied is working. Keep doing what we're doing. And then at the end, we can reflect. All right. Did I achieve my goal? Yes or no? Then what changes could I make? Could I, lift with more intensity in the gym? Could I modify my training program, my nutrition program, so that I get the most out of it? So that is the process of it.
Yes. Perfect.
Now, Nick, I'd like to answer a couple of questions that have come up over the past week in the challenge universe. So the first one is, can I have diet soda? Referring to, you know, Diet Coke, Coke Zero, Pepsi Max, those types of things. Nick, what advice would you give an individual if they want to have diet soda?
I'd say you can have diet soda. It is fine. It is okay to have diet soda. There's nothing wrong with it. We're talking about the ones that are labeled sugar-free. So there's no actual calories in those. So that is fine to have them. Just monitor how they make you feel. I would just go by that. There's no hard and fast rules about them. So for some people, I know that they can cause you to have a bit of a sore tummy. I know if I go overboard with them, I might get a little bit of a sore tummy, but you can have them.
That's I like it. quick, easy. My only advice would be that you don't want to replace your entire fluid intake with like Diet Coke. You do want to have some water. So find that you can only drink, Diet Coke, maybe spend some time drinking some water. So it's all about moderation, of course.
Definitely. But yeah, you can have it. If that's your biggest weakness, you're all right.
Now, the next question here is about training splits. So someone's asked, what are training splits and are there any benefits to them? Okay, so a training split is how we split our training, as the name suggests, across the week. So common splits would be something like a body part split, such as, I do chest on Monday because that's International Bench Press Day. We do, back on Tuesday, legs on Wednesday, take Thursday off, and then train, my biceps on Friday. And then on Saturday, I might do shoulders. That type of split. So that might be a way to divide your program. There's other training splits such as like an upper body, lower body split, full body split, push-pull legs. There's a plethora of them. Now in the challenge, we often lean towards something like a full body training program, mainly because the literature or the kind of science kind of points us direction of full body training. Now the proposed mechanism is that if we can stimulate our muscle more frequently throughout the week, that can lead to more muscle growth. And an example of this is someone who, let's say they work as a tradesman and they're on the tools all day. That individual has really large forearms because they're on the tools all day, every day. It's not like they do, working on the tools on a Monday only, and that stimulates their forearms to grow. They're on them every single day. They got big ass forearms. So that's a little example there. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't get great results in other training splits, and it really does come down to a personal preference, which is why in our advanced training programs, we offer three different training splits. For someone who is advanced, who probably has spent some time training different body part splits, because as you become more advanced, you probably spend more time with different training splits and you start learning what the hell is PPL and what is the body part split, full upper body, all those things. So you probably have an understanding of what a training split is, which is the reason why in the advanced is why we offer those training splits. If you're truly a beginner intermediate, we don't want to confuse you too much with training splits or anything, right? But just follow one of the training splits for the next 6 weeks, mainly around your personal preference. The caveat that I would add is that if you've been training, let's say a bro split forever, it might be worth just kind of changing things up, maybe following like a push-pull legs or like an upper-lower split, just to simply apply a new stimulus to your body. Because if you've just been training the same way and you expect to see different results, I think that's the definition of insanity. So think about mixing things up a little bit, trying something new with our training splits.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Next question here, Nick, you can probably answer this one. We get lots of questions about the weight of the server protein and how that doesn't match up with the total protein consumed at the end of the day. Okay, so for example, someone says, my program says to have, 500 grams of meat throughout the day between breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but it only says that I'm having, 160 grams of protein. There's a problem. Like, why is there a difference? What advice would you give this person?
Okay, so when you don't think too much about what macronutrients are and you just find out about protein, and you might think a chicken breast is just like, if you've got 100 grams of chicken breast, you've got 100 grams of protein. But there are other things in the chicken breast, like it weighs because it's got, chicken breast is quite high protein, so it's pretty much all protein, but it's actually got water in it and things that will make it weigh 100 grams, but the actual protein content in the chicken is, say, 100 grams of chicken is about 30 grams of protein. So once you can get your head around that, that's why the protein serves will weigh. So if you might have 300 grams of chicken, but within that you'll have about 90 grams of protein. It's as simple as that. So the weight of the food isn't the weight of the protein content, even though it is a protein-based source of food and high protein, it's not going to be the same. So it's not an error or anything like that, but it's also a very common thing. I mean, I do remember asking a coach years and years ago about salmon, and I said, I'm going to have 200 grams of salmon, which means I'm having 200 grams of protein. And he had to explain to me that, salmon has other things in it as well. And that's where I went, oh, okay, fair enough. Because if you don't know, you don't know. So there you go.
It really comes down to that question of like food composition, because you're right. Like, if you compare to say chicken to salmon, two very different food compositions. And you may find that you're able to have more chicken on the plan than salmon, because salmon is really high in fat as well and a little bit lower in protein. So chicken, for example, you know, has, like you said, about 30 grams of protein per 100 grams. Salmon, I think it's around that like 16 grams of protein per 100 grams. So if you want to try to equate your protein, you need to have a lot more salmon, which also comes with a lot more fat, a lot more calories. That's right, which is why, you know, let's say bodybuilder bros out there would choose to have chicken, because it's a really high protein source per 100 grams, one of the highest, without lots of other things in there. Even though it is still 30 grams of protein per 100 grams, it is actually one of the highest, right, per gram.
Oh my God. I'm a bodybuilder because I know all the ones. There's chicken, there's turkey, there's egg whites. All of those are very, very high protein. So, yeah, there's a reason why. And white fish and dried, there's a reason why people eat those particular foods. So they're not crazy.
No. And then that's why we face problems with, let's say, plant-based programs, because, you know, let's say things like lentils, often marketed as high protein food sources, you know, they're about 9 grams of protein per 100 grams. So if you want to have the same amount of protein from lentils as you would chicken, you therefore need to have 300 grams of lentils versus 100 grams of chicken to get the same amount of protein for those two serves, which can face problems with our overall calorie split, because you just therefore need to eat lots and lots of like lentils throughout the day just to meet your protein targets while you're trying to manage your calorie intake. So, you know, there are some challenges with certain food compositions. And, you know, for like the quote, best results possible, end quote, you probably want to look for those really classical bodybuilder food sources. So food sources such as, let's say, chicken breast, turkey, like you said, which is predominantly like a protein. It doesn't have lots of carbohydrate or fat. So we know, okay, that's our protein source. Then for our fats, we might choose to choose an energy source that's like olive oil, because we know that's just straight fat, no carb, no protein in it. And then for another energy source, you may choose to have, let's say, white rice, where you know, no protein or no fat in it, just rice. And now we've got our three macronutrients. There's three different food items, and then we could scale that accordingly to fit our macros. But that often doesn't lead to really exciting foods unless you're a wizard with your spices, which faces problems when individuals want to have things like cheese, or they want to have things like salmon, or they want to have things like dressing on their foods, and they want to have you know, these fun foods which have obscure body food compositions, which kind of throw out our macros. But I digress. I've kind of,
yeah, macros. No, it's very, very interesting, because once you start to get into that realm, that's where you know, you can see the extreme body composition changes. That's where, if you really want to go for it, that's where you need to live. And it's okay. You just, food becomes a different thing. It just becomes a way to fuel, you know, looking awesome. And that's okay too.
That's right. That's right. So if you do want to take a deeper dive around nutrition and body composition and really understand macros, I made a nice 6-part series on nutrition. Each video is about 10 minutes long. So you probably spend an hour watching six of those videos, and you get a full understanding about how you can modify the plan and program and your nutritional strategy so you can get the best results possible for you. So make sure you go check out that video series.
Such a good idea to do that. That's good.
Now, finally, I want to answer a question about how are the calories calculated on the template? Okay, mm-hmm. So the nutrition template, the way it works is we ask you to input some of your personal information, such as your height, your weight, your age. Then we run a number of different formulas to predict your energy expenditure. Okay, now these formulas, we have about 10 of them, and they're the top 10, like most evidence-based formulas out there, such as the Joris St. Mifflin, the Owens equation and such. And you know, they're quite long formulas that are plugged in and built into your nutrition template. Now, each of these formulas have their own limitations. So some formulas are really great for athletes. Some formulas are really great for people with high BMI. Some are really great for elderly. Some are really great if you know your body fat percentage. So what I've done is I've grabbed all of them and then averaged out the response. So just to help minimize some of the error rates between all of those calorie prediction tools, we get a nice average, and then we plug that into the nutrition template. So the calories on your plan, that's suggested on your plan, are really specific to you. If you choose maintenance, your calories will be almost equal to your energy expenditure, so we can't expect a big change in your body composition. If you chose fat loss, you'll be at a 25% energy deficit. So we don't want to be like a really high energy deficit, or you know, we're just going to have a really shit time. We're likely going to lose a lot of muscle mass and water weight and body fat and everything in between. But you know, we're more likely to have like a binge eating episode and quote fall off the wagon end quote. We don't want to be in a really low calorie deficit because we're just not going to see change, right? If you're at a 5% energy deficit, and you do that for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, you're like, well, I'm not really noticing any big changes in my body. There's no motivation to keep going. Then if you're on a muscle building program, if you choose muscle building, we'll put you at a slight energy surplus of about 10%. We don't want to be too high because we're more likely to gain lots of body fat. So we don't want to be too low. We don't gain any weight at all. We want it to be just over so that we're in a positive shift for our energy expenditure. And that's simple. That's it. So we've made that prediction. And off we go. Now, we understand that some of these predictions aren't always accurate, and maybe you have misguided some of the information on the plan, and that's not your fault. That's totally fine. So maybe you've written that you're moderately active, but really you're a low physical activity, or the other way, you're a high physical activity or something like that. The best way to measure our progress is to measure our body weight changes. So if you are trying to lose weight, you want to aim to lose between 0.5 and 1% of your body weight. If you're not per week, if you're not achieving that, then that means that you're either consuming too much energy or not expending enough energy. So then we face that choice of, okay, can I decrease my calories slightly? And if that's the decision you want to make, you can modify your plan in the advanced settings on the Start Here tab of your nutrition template, or you can choose to increase your energy expenditure. And you can do that simply by increasing the total amount of steps that you do per day. Now, this is all highlighted in the FAQ section on your nutrition template. So go check that one out. Nice flow chart so you can decide which way you want to go in the process so that you can make those decisions along the way so that you can get from point A to point B.
Perfect. And there's no point in comparing to your friend who's doing the challenge or anything, because you are an individual and your data will be different. So just stay on your own plan and have a look at what's recommended for you. That's how you're going to get the best results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the cool thing about our nutrition template at the moment is that it's so personalized to you and your needs.
And sometimes it's a bit scary to see what data is personalized to you, but if you can face it and look at it, then that's the best way to get the best results.
Absolutely. Look, Nick, let's wrap it up there for episode number 41 of the Challenge Weekly Show. 41 hours of Coach Nick and I chatting about all things fitness, health, and the challenge. So if you like this episode, go check out the 40 other episodes where we've spoken about everything, Nick. You can spend a full-time week listening to the Challenge Weekly Show.
Wow. All right. Have a good one, guys.
We'll catch you next week.
Bye.